preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Today we consider the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he gave that great teaching in the Olivet Discourse when he explained to the disciples what would happen to the temple, what they should be watching for, what they should be anticipating, and how they should look for him to come again to take them home to be with him in glory. We're considering the second coming of Jesus Christ on the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. If you can support us, we'd be grateful. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. You can do that right online at agradio.org. Here's now part two of a message which I have titled, Jesus is Coming Soon. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
But there's a gathering of the elect. There's a great reunion that's going to happen. Bodies are getting up. But this day is described in Revelation 19. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And him who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. That's no donkey. His eyes were like 2 Thessalonians 1, Revelation 1, a flame of fire. Revelation 19. On his heads were many crowns. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Any minute, any time, your champion's coming. Your champion's coming. There he is. Don't you want it? Don't you want him? Think of all the cries of his people. Think of when the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, these cries are coming up to me. Think of all the cries that come up of the prayers of his people that he's coming to pay back, to vindicate, to do, and to deliver. You know, maybe sometimes you've read in the Psalms and they haven't connected with you because you keep reading about all this deliverance. I just went through and counted deliver, just a handful. I think I counted 38 times where it talks about directly, the Lord is coming to deliver us. Deliver. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, deliver us. Psalm 79. O God, to deliver me, make haste to help me, O Lord, deliver me. And that's what this is. It's a day for you of him coming to take you back. It's a day coming to defend you. It's a day coming to rescue you. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's going to separate wheat and chaff. Again, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. When that trumpet sounds, it's done. It's over. Any moment he could descend. And for all who've believed in Jesus and have trusted in him, he says that the angels will gather you and you will be gathered to your heavenly Savior and you will rest from your labors and the work is done. It's done. Now, what Jesus does at this point, having answered this question, he now gives them what is on his heart for them. I think you have to see the Olivet that way. They have expressed their concerns to him, and I believe the rest of this now is his concerns for them. He's answered their questions. He's told them what they need to know. He's given them all they need about this. So I want you to notice here that in these concerns, all over the scriptures, over and over, this day he wants us to believe is coming first. Maybe that's just important to close that first point. He is coming. He knows there are going to be people who are just going to stand back and laugh at that, shrug this off and say, come on. This is ridiculous. And he wants you to believe that that's coming. But he also wants his people to know that this day is not meant to overtake them as a thief. This day is not meant to catch you off guard. This day is not meant to be a startling event for you. That's so important in this context. He doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want that for his disciples. And I believe what he's doing now is providing them what needs to be on their hearts and their minds as they go forward from here. And you see how much this helps us, doesn't it? You could get caught up in all the wrong things along the way. Couldn't you? All the reports, you know, he mentions reports here. All the news reports of conflict, disturbance, political unrest, deception. You know what they do. They cause great discouragement. They cause great confusion. They cause great fear. You could hold on to this and be fighting for all the wrong things. You could. Wrong causes. All your energy in the wrong stuff. You know Jesus told you what they need to be concerned with and what we need to be concerned with. Taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. He said that already. That's your concern. You know this world is going to be burned with fire. We're not going to transform it. We're going to destroy it and make it new, Jesus says. But you could along the way forget that and turn all of your desires to this present realm, which is really functioning as an attempt to keep your life. That's what it is. It may be clothed in something else, but it's really an attempt to keep your life here. And I am seeing him here at this point give us two ways to live through distressing times. Two ways to think through all of this. This is his concern for us. Believe he's coming, but then what? Well, here's the first. Don't be ignorant about the times in which you live. It's a very simple point. Don't be ignorant about the times in which you live. There is an approach that couches itself as doing Christian fighting for God, but what evidence is as a sinful holding on to the world. Could come in many forms. Let me give you a few. Could come in eating and drinking and making yourself merry. That's one. Jesus talked about this with the days of Noah, that people just saw life as eating and drinking and living it up to the fullest. And it was a ridiculous proposal that the Lord would ever come and stop this. That's what this life's all about. Sheer hedonism. You could do that. You could think your life is all about gratification. And he said people live like that and the flood carried them away. I don't want that for you. I've got something way better for you. Now, we might never say that. I never say that, well, my life is not about that. We know that our life is not about eating and drinking and being merry. I hope we do. That's not just what this is about. But there's another way of thinking that shows it. In Luke's day, he chided the multitudes for a willful bliss that refused to consider what was really going on around them. Remember my point here. Don't live ignorant about the times in which you live. Jesus proved it to them. How many people are living for the question of what kind of day we're going to have tomorrow? Well, you all know you live that way. We all do this. Listen to Jesus. He said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, ah, shower's coming. Boy, we did that well last week, didn't we? It happens. When you see a south wind blowing, you say there's going to be scorching heat. We know that here. Santa Ana's. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. But why do you do not know how to interpret the present time? What I believe he's saying is, in light of even Mark 13 here, we'll get there, there is a willful ignorance that people live that is tied to finding fulfillment in the present order of things. We find fulfillment in that. So we say, well, it's raining tomorrow, I can't go build. Can't do the project. Or it's sunny and we can plan our day. We're going to go do this and we're going to go do that. We study this to know and plan our lives around what the weather's going to be. This is what we do. The happiness of our life then depends on those plans. We study the plans and find fulfillment in how it's going to go and what we're going to do. Everything is set in order to fulfill our aspirations. Now, Jesus knows we have to make plans. Jesus knows we have to do this. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a certain way of life that lives this way. And when it doesn't go our way, we fall apart. Oh, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to make my plans, and I got it all figured out, don't you? You know, Jesus says that is like watching. You could be watching for those things and living for that. And what a hypocrisy if you're never watching for him. Watching circumstances to make plans and looking at the present time and studying it and figuring it out, and I'm going to go do all this. And Jesus saying, no, observe the times instead. Oh, war. Wow, there's no peace. Natural disaster. A birth pain. He's coming. Political unrest, leadership failure. We need a better king. You see? Look at it. Discern it. Discern what's happening. Don't live in ignorance of it. Be wise. I was reading 2 Peter this week, and he operates from this using the example of Lot. This is what happened to Lot. By turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued righteous Lot, listen to what he says happened to Lot. We're always perplexed about Lot. What happened to Lot in the midst of living in Sodom? Greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. Okay? For as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Here's the encouragement. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. He rescued Lot from all he went through in choosing Sodom. And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority, he says. Listen to this. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme dignitaries. Now here's the application. What happened to Lot? Think of Lot in this. They entice unsteady souls for speaking loud boasts of folly. They entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise freedom. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Lot got caught up in all that. He had to be pulled out. And the point that Jesus is making here is observe the times. Don't buy into false promises, false things. Don't be held by the things that are happening right now and holding on to it. understand that things have to happen. It would be like the Jewish Christians, when they see the temple going down, grabbing their ARs and standing in front of it. The Romans came in and ravished it. That was a judgment. Notice this in verse 32. Learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it's near at the doors. What Jesus is saying is people would have understood well. What he meant is that the fig tree would bud early before summer. And Jesus is saying, you know. You know when that fig tree buds and produces leaves that summer's coming. It tells you this. It tells you that it's near and coming very soon. So too, when you see all these things, know that my coming is near at the doors. So discern the times. Think about the times. This doesn't make us inactive. You've got a great mission he's given you. He's given you a great commission, hasn't he, to the church. Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And then Jesus adds this. You're going to say, all these things take place. This generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. What he's saying is something very simple to, I think, that generation and to ours. They did see all these things. They saw everything that told them the day was at hand. That generation saw it. The day was at hand. So do we. Can you look at it and see the day is at hand? Can you look at it and see? Can you discern the times? Let me close with one more then this morning. Believe he is coming. Observe and be wise to what's going on in the times. Discern them. And third, watch your life. This doesn't make us just stand back and sit in the armchair, does it? We influence greatly in society. We tell others what's most important in society. But watch. He says in verse 33, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. He gives his great example. The master put his servants in charge of his house and left them to do the work and left the doorkeeper to watch, but he didn't say when he's coming. So evening, midnight, early in the morning when the rooster crows, you don't be asleep. Watch. Watch for me. What does it mean to watch? I often struggled with that for years. What exactly is he telling us to watch? To just stand up and look at the clouds all day? I have to tell the story again. I know I've told it before, but it's too, in God's providence, helpful not to tell it. There's people here who haven't heard it, and if you heard it the first time, maybe you were asleep. I don't know. But this particular event that happened helped me so much to understand what Jesus is saying when he says, watch. You know that I was asked to do the funeral of Reverend Eric Finema. And we had made a really close friendship. He was in one of our churches in Lethbridge. And I had gone up to do a wedding for somebody in his congregation, and we developed a wonderful friendship. I preached for Reverend Finema, and I was able to spend time at his house with both of them. And I said before I left, I said, if you ever come to Linden, I'd love for you to preach for us. And he shows up in Linden, says, I'd love to preach. So that day, he preached on the Olivet Discourse. And he's preaching the Olivet Discourse and delivered probably one of the most powerful sermons that I had ever heard on the parable of the 10 virgins. It was absolutely wonderful. I can get you that sermon if you ever want to hear it. But it still rings in my ears. It still rings in my ears. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour. Watch. Had a wonderful time of fellowship that night, Eric and his wife, and we spent hours talking in a home of somebody there in Linden. And I remember receiving an email from Eric telling me how much he appreciated the time with us in Linden, the opportunity to preach, and he concluded the email with, "Until we meet again." Wow, that's great. I remember receiving then Saturday morning, I'm sitting in my study, and as I'm opening the email box, I remember the whole emotion, the range of emotion that came over me. "I'm emailing you to tell you the sad news that today Reverend Finema went to be with the Lord. He was golfing and had a massive heart attack and died right on the course immediately." And I remember thinking, that is an absolutely stunning course of events in God's providence that just happened. This is a kind of watching. His last message on earth wasn't even to his own congregation. His last message on earth was to my church in Linden, where I was pastoring. And his plea to those people and to me was, "Watch, therefore, be ready, because you don't know the day nor the hour." And next Sunday we're gathered together and he's gone. Gone. I remember in that sermon, I'll never forget it. Watch, watch, watch. And I kept thinking, what? What do I watch? And he stopped in that sermon and he said, "Your life. Your life." Jesus is challenging us to ask, are we living as those who, when the Master comes, are ready to be with him? He wants us not to be in denial of this. He's not scaring you. He's telling you this is for your own good. We've spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of those in darkness. Lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatry, says Peter. Wake up. Now it's high time to wake up out of sleep. For now, your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast these works of darkness off. He desires for you what's best. And look at how patient he is with your life. Look at all the things that you play with and do that ignore this command. And he's not saying it to make you think you're going to miss it. He's saying to his sheep, the elect will be gathered. So then, be confident. Be ready. Be bold. Be thankful. You don't have to fear him. He's your Savior. He loves you. He's not your enemy. So respond to him that way. He loved you and he died for you. He's coming to get you. He's got something so much better for you. You want to hold on to this? What are we fighting for? Take seriously the call to watch and be ready. It means a lot to him. Do it because it means a lot to him. There's one thing I want to leave you with. This is not a long point, I promise. Look at what he says in verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Whose words? He just made his words the words of Scripture. Who's speaking to you? My words are Scripture. You want to hold on to something that's not going to pass away? Start taking this seriously in your life. Start living thankfully and say, I need to be in church to hear this. I need the sacrament. I need to be in this during the week. I need this. You want to hold on to something that's lasting. Hold on to his word. He'll keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before his presence with glory.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.